I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Paddy Hirsch, and this is The Indicator. And today's indicator is 2,321. That is the number of independent bookstores in this country, according to the American Booksellers Association.
And that might not sound like that many to you. America is a big country, and we've been hearing for years that the bookstore business is in rough shape. Except that's wrong. The second part, anyway, America is a big country. Independent bookstores, though, are thriving.
From 2009 till today, they've seen almost now a 40% increase in their numbers.
Today on The Indicator, the story of a renaissance.
I always say this is a story of hope.
Yeah, it is a story of hope, right?
This is beautiful. I'm already feeling good.
I'm glad you're feeling good.
I'm already feeling uplifted.
I know that you are a literary person, so I know this is going to make you feel good.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Cloud. During March Madness, the NCAA is using Google Cloud to turn data into insights, and so can your business. See how at g.co/March Madness. Google Cloud, the official cloud of the NCAA.
Can you give me the definition of what an independent bookstore is?
So an independent bookstore is one that is owned typically by a small group of members, often it's families.
This is Ryan Raffaelli. He's a professor at Harvard Business School and author of an upcoming study of the independent bookstore business. He says back in the late 70s, pretty much every bookstore was independent. It was a kind of bibliographic golden age.
Back then, independent bookstores were a cherished part of the neighborhood, like Chatterton's Books, which was located just around the corner from where I live in Los Angeles.
It was a perfect time, but like many good things in this world, it could not last. First came the brick-and-mortar competition.
One of the first challenges that they faced was the introduction of the mall chain. So we can think of B. Dalton, Walden Books, who at one point were literally opening new stores every week throughout the country. And this continues through the 90s when then in addition to that, what you see is this conflux where you have the big boxes arise on the scene, such as Barnes & Noble and Borders.
It got tougher and tougher for independent bookstores to stay in business. A big box store would come to your town. It would have all of these millions of books. The prices would be low. There'd be a cafe with couches. And often it was just a matter of time before the neighborhood bookstore shut its doors.
And that's exactly what happened to Chatterton's Books, the store around the corner from me. It had been a mainstay of the community since the early 70s. But it went out of business in 1994. And it was hard to imagine the situation getting worse.
But in 1995, it did get worse. Amazon opened for business.
And that triggered a cascade of destruction in the bookstore business. Hundreds of stores started closing all over America. The number of independent booksellers fell 40% in 5 years as people opted to shop online and have their books delivered rather than visit a physical store.
And then Amazon dropped the hammer.
And then in 2007, you have yet another shock, which is the introduction of the Kindle, where many analysts are now saying that maybe the printed book is actually also on its way out.
The end of the printed book.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
But then something really interesting happens. The number of independent bookstores in the U.S. starts to take off.
From 2009 till today, they've seen almost now a 40% increase in their numbers.
A phoenix, ladies and gentlemen, rising from the ashes. Kind of like the bookstore around the corner from me that closed in 1994. Today, that location is once again a bookstore called Skylight Books, which celebrates its 20th birthday this year.
And there were a couple of things that happened to prepare the ground for the indies recovery.
First, when Amazon whacked the brick-and-mortar bookstore business, the independents were decimated, sure. But the corporates, the big-box stores and the chains, they really got crushed. Like Borders, which was one of the biggest bookstore companies in the U.S., went out of business. So that kind of cleared the decks.
What you begin to see is a bifurcation of the industry, where that indies represent this high-touch environment, high experience, a chance for the consumer to engage on a set of very personal dimensions versus Amazon, which is really about, can I just get something quickly at the cheapest price?
In other words, if you want a certain book and you want it now and you want it cheap, you go to Amazon. But if you want an experience,
the consumer is walking in with the idea of a hunt. The independent bookseller will potentially expose you to something that maybe you hadn't thought of.
Ryan says the successful independent bookstore focuses on the specific needs of the community by doing things like shopping local and opening on the weekends. It offers a carefully curated selection designed specifically for its customers, which keeps them coming back, and it brings different parts of the community together. Mary Williams is the general manager of Skylight Books, just around the corner from me.
Well, it's important for us to celebrate the diversity of Los Angeles and of Los Angeles literature. So we are very careful in the curation of our books to represent books of interest to a lot of different groups of people and in our events. And we're also a fairly political bookstore. We're a meeting place where people can come to discuss the news of the day and to pick up political books and learn more about the world around them.
Why don't you have a cafe?
We're fortunate to be in a neighborhood that has an extremely vibrant restaurant scene. And to be honest, we couldn't even give up the space to have a cafe.
So people can just get their coffee outside and come in?
Absolutely. And a lot of people do that. People get their coffee, come in here, read a book, hang out with our cat, get the full experience.
This, though, is not an easy path. Startup capital is hard to come by. The margins on books are razor thin. And it's hard to find a location in the kind of community that will support a store where rents are affordable.
But Ryan Raffaele says retail developers are starting to look at independent bookstores in a different way.
As new community centers for shopping have been built, in some of the cases I've found that, real estate developers are actually willing to give deals to some of the independent bookstores because the independent bookstore is a mark of authenticity. You know, we often think about Anchors as being, you know, in the past it was a Sears or a JCPenney's. But in these city center, local community growth areas where we're seeing actually quite a large expansion, bookstores is actually one of those components.
Independent bookstores anchoring shopping malls. In other words, the indie bookstore is marching triumphantly into the very place that once threatened to destroy it. They have returned to dance on the ashes of Borders and Walden Books. That is a great twist.
If you like shopping malls, I guess.
Something in me loves them all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Cloud. During March Madness, the NCAA is using Google Cloud to turn data into insights, and so can your business. See how at g.co/marchmadness. Google Cloud, the official cloud of the NCAA.